Good evening, everyone. This is your final night of freedom, right? Before you go back home to responsibilities and laundry. You know, we have so much laundry at our house. I don't know what it's like at your house, but wow, like loads and loads of laundry. And it's funny that we keep making jokes about the kids not eating. But is there anybody's spouse here who cooks? All right. Yes. That is such a blessing. Such a blessing. That is not a reality for me, but I'm glad it's a reality for you. All right. What time is it now? Time is it? Okay. 7:35. I know everybody wants to party tonight, so we're not going to take up heaps and heaps of your time. And I forgot to tell Millie that I didn't give you a script, so I'll have to tell you when to change it. I'm sorry. Okay, everyone who has a cell phone, can you please take it out? If you don't have a cell phone, kind of scoot beside somebody who does, okay? Sorry, Jess, can you pass me my cell phone? So if you have a cell phone, please take it out and go to your camera function. I am going to teach you how to take the perfect, most flattering, oh my goodness, so pretty, selfie, okay? I have the formula, okay? I'm telling you, I have the formula. So take it out and go to your camera. Like I said, if you do not have a phone, go beside someone who does, because it's always cuter if there's someone else in your picture. Okay, are you ready? I'll do it from the side. Put it right in front of you so you see your face. Now, slowly go up. Ready? Slowly, and then turn your face like this. Now, it has to be high, ladies. Okay? And then turn your face ever so slightly so you get this. Boom, cheekbone right there. You see the jawline? And then take your photo. Okay, I'm gonna take it like this so everybody can be in my picture. Did you do it? Please do it, and then I want you to look at the picture. You did it? No, it's really good up here, but not for you. Oh, that's right, it's really dark. Okay. Now, settle down. I know all of you look fantastic tonight. You look very, very good tonight. And let me tell you something. This is a foolproof way to look fantastic in a selfie. And if, here's another trick, you can't reach the button because it's too high up, put it on the self timer for 3 seconds, press the button and then move it farther. You're welcome. Yeah. See my sister up here? She knows what's up, okay? All right, now, pretend for a moment that you did just take the best selfie ever and you are feeling yourself, which also means you think you look good. You're feeling yourself. If any of you have younger children, go home and say that, it'll freak them out. Say, I'm really feeling myself today. Be like, oh, mom, no, no. So you think you look good, you know you look good, and let's pretend that you post this. on Facebook or Instagram, or for some of you super savvy social media people, Snapchat. Okay, you post it, and every person that comments on your selfie says that you look ugly. Instead of getting a thumbs up, you get the angry face. Instead of saying somebody saying, wow, you look so pretty, it looks like you're having a good time at the best retreat ever, they write, who do you think you are? You better take that down. You ugly. You fat. You don't look good. You got wrinkles. Now, I don't know how you feel, but this happens to our young women on a daily basis. Social media issues permeate every aspect of a young person's life these days, whether it's revealing too much information about their relationship, or having a public disagreement with their friends on Twitter, and it goes back and forth and back and forth, or inadvertently inviting an extra 200 people to their house for a party on Facebook. But what does social media make young women think about themselves? And how does it make them feel? This is the social media monster, and this evening our goal is to discuss how to tame the beast. So let me just put this out there. This topic is vast. We only have about 20 to 25 minutes, so we're not going to do everything. I just wanted to give you a snapshot of what young women have to deal with. It's really important that you familiarize yourself with social media because it's not going anywhere. It is here to stay, and it has changed the way we live our lives. So, you know what? Let's learn how to use it for our good instead of letting it destroy our young people. I'm going to share some stats with you. Millie, it's the next slide. In 2013, a company called MediaSmart conducted a national survey of 5,436 Canadian students through grade 4 to 11. These are some of the stats that they came up with. 99% of all students have access to the internet outside of school. That's kind of a no-brainer these days. 39% sleep with their cell phone. 39%. Does anyone here sleep with their cell phone? It's my alarm clock. Okay. We use it as a clock, right? Okay. YouTube is the top site visited by the young people, followed by Facebook and Google. Does anyone know what the number one mobile app is for young people? Snapchat. You're a cool mom, right? Yeah, Snapchat. Have you ever been on Snapchat? No. Okay. Here's another tip about Snapchat. If you download Snapchat, there is a filter on there. It makes everybody look amazing. You could have no makeup, like vomited, got hit by a bicycle, and you put that Snapchat filter on and you look like, Snapchat filter is the number one mobile app for young people. 48% of students have lied about their age in order to join social networks. Because you have to be of age, right? You have to be over 18. All you have to do is lie. You just say you're born in 1970 and you're on. 90% of young people don't believe they are in any danger when putting personal information online. Do you know what that means? That means real names, phone numbers, addresses, in some cases birthdays, schools, churches, and depending on how you do your settings, people can tell where you are. Now, that's just so much information to a predator that they're left wide open. There is a handout. Do you know where it is? It's two. One is like this, and one is like this. Okay? So everybody's going to get one of those. And while we wait on those, I'm going to talk about something else. Millie, can we go to the next slide? All right. Likes up, body confidence down. Now, this is some information on how young people view themselves based on what's happening on their social media feed. The number of girls feeling appearance pressure from social media doubles between ages 13 and 18. Doubles. In preparation for this seminar, I talked to some of the young people. I surveyed a whole bunch of young people, starting from grade 7 all the way up to grade 12. And this is what they told me. I asked them, when you're on social media, do you feel pressure to post sexy pictures of yourself? Out of the 20 young people that I asked this question to that are in our church, they all said yes. Sexy pictures. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen a sexy picture online. You know, we were joking around with our selfies, but some of the selfies out there include body parts. They do this thing where they show you their bum, but then they turn around, or they take it from up here so you can see their cleavage. These are kids who are between the ages of 13 and 18. Kids. Okay, the average girl spends 1 hour and 24 minutes prepping for selfies. You and I were just joking around, but there's people that actually like do the whole thing. Like they're going out for a gala just to take a two-second selfie to post. They spend 1 hour and 24 minutes each week. Look at the bottom left here. 1 in 4 girls have deleted a photo if it did not get enough likes. We have this program in Ottawa, it's called Girls Night In, and it's specifically for girls in junior high and high school. And what it is it's about self-esteem. We talk to them about body image, we talk to them about confidence, we talk to them about sex, being healthy, and last year, a young girl came. She wasn't an Adventist. She wasn't a Christian. She came with one of the church kids. And she said, really young, attractive, nice little girl, she said, I don't post all the time because I feel bad when people don't like it. Somebody can make them feel bad because they don't like their picture. Do you know how powerful that is to somebody's self-esteem? If we go to the next slide, I want to show you something. They feel prettier when they get likes. Now, for those of you who are unfamiliar with some social media, on Facebook, for example, I can post a picture of me and all my friends, and anyone who knows me or any of my friends can see it. And they can choose, there's little icons that say like, love, wow, sad, or angry. Right? So if I post something and I'm so proud, oh, I just had a baby, and no one likes it. Or, ooh, your baby's ugly. My self-esteem is going to go down. You've put something out into the world, and not one person has validated you. Can you see how powerful this is? I wanted to read you something. How social media can knock a teenager's self-esteem. This is from Hannah. She's 15 years old. When you're on social media, you think, I'll just have a quick look. And then all of a sudden, you're there for ages. You look at everyone else's posts and you think, they're so pretty. Their life is so cool. It can make you think everyone is having a better time than you. It can make you feel not good about yourself because you think, what's wrong with me? Why am I not having that sort of time? And what you have to remember, when people post these pictures of themselves, they are literally posting the highlights of their life. Nobody gets up and they have no makeup and their hair is messy and they have morning breath. Nobody posts that. They post the best of the best. That was Hannah, 15. Olivia, 16, says, I kept seeing all these cool parties on social media websites, and I was thinking, wow, they're just so much fun. Why are all the parties I go to so dull? And then I realize I'm at those parties. They're dull because they're full of people just looking at their phones and taking pictures. Social media influences a young person's self-esteem because it allows people to create a fake self. You know, we were taking pictures way up here. Do we actually look like that? No, we kind of see each other like this, right? You're never down on the ground and everyone else is here. We see each other on a regular level. And so things like selfies and posting things, it allows you to create a fake self. You get to choose what people see about you. People Photoshop, there's filters. Shannon, 14 years old, says, one day I was doing that. I was Photoshopping an image, and when I'd finish, I hardly recognized myself. I thought, that's not me. I realized that it was ridiculous. I really do want to be me, so it makes no sense at all. Now, social media is so compelling at this stage for our young people because it answers both their need for friendship and the need for brain stimulation. Our brain is wired to, when things are on the computer, things are flashing, things are changing. Our brain is wired to take all of that in. We like that. We also like fellowship and friendship. And I can be at home in my bed and talk to 17 of my friends at the same time. And look at what I'm going to wear tomorrow, and look at my friend's vacation from Mexico, all at the same time. Brain stimulation and friendship, all rolled into one. Now let me ask you this. Does anyone know what trolling is? Tell me. Trolling. What's trolling? You can yell it. I can't see that far. Okay, negative comments back and forth on a specific topic or on a person, yes. You're looking for people to make a negative comment on. Yes, trolling, okay? The problem with social media, don't feed the trolls. Madeline 14 says, people say things they would never say things to your face. Right? They hide behind a screen. It's easy. It seems to give them the right to be rude and thoughtless, and it's really gross. When people insult you there, they don't have to see how you react. It's horrible. I realize that if you let that sort of feedback rule your life, you're letting people who are too weedy to even own up to their own feelings affect your whole self-esteem. I thought, no thanks. Madeline, 14 years old. What a great response. But not all of our young women think this way. You have seen the news online of people who kill themselves because of what happens online. They take their own lives because of what happens on the internet. People that they have never even met can make your young women take their lives. Social media can change a girl's definition of what is acceptable. India, who's 16-year-old, writes, certain girls get lots of likes, and if you're not that kind of girl, you won't get the likes. There's a very narrow definition of what's okay. People don't fit in have to try very hard. They have to try wearing things like skirts really high, or unbuttoning their shirts very low, or caking on the makeup, or getting a fake tan. To get positive feedbacks and extra mentions, most girls sex themselves up. And it's a sad reflection on our age, I guess. Teenage girls are hardwired to like social media. Now, there's conflicting evidence about the effects of social media on teenage girls, but research indicates it can both help and harm their feelings of self-worth and acceptance. According to clinical psychologist and a mother of two teenage girls, Dr. Tara Cosino, wanted parents to understand that young people are hardwired for socialization. You know, they want to talk to people. They might not know how, but they want to interact with one another. And so what makes social networking so compelling for young people in general, and teenage girls in particular, is the fusion of two features of female adolescence. One is a deep-seated instinct to reach out beyond their family, to broaden their social circle and make new friends. And the other is an innate drive for activities that sharpen and stretch their mind. So it meets their need of friendship and also brain stimulation, like we talked about earlier. Now I want to show you this. I typed in Instagram makes me into Google. This is what came up without me typing anymore. Instagram makes me sad, makes me insecure, feel jealous, feel ugly, feel bad. Makes me feel bad about myself. Instagram makes me, typed it into Google, and this is literally what pops up, which means this is the most common search things when you think of Instagram. Go to the next slide, please. Nancy Jo Sales wrote this book, Social Media and the Secret Lives of Teenagers. And if you ever have a chance to read it, you need to read it. It will blow your mind. Nancy was investigating how social media can spread into other people's lives. More and more users jump on the trolling bandwagon to hate or bully someone else. Even moms, teachers, and other mature adults will comment or text on another young person's feed. I'm going to read you something. Two girls, high school, they were unsure of their sexuality. So they kind of started to like each other. They took one picture together. There was no words, just the picture. One girl's friend, all of her friends started to write, "What are you, gay now? Are you a lesbo? That's disgusting. What's wrong with you?" And it started building and building and building. It built up so much that they actually tore the two young girls' friendship apart. This is what she writes. "You could kill yourself and I wouldn't shed a single tear from my eyes. Actually, that's a good idea. I'll give you a damn gun to do it with. It'd make my damn life easier. I'm so glad I moved on because I would be as hurt, blank, blank." High school. There was a massive experiment on Facebook published in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences in 2014. And it found that emotional states, so if I'm sad, can be transferred to others via emotional contagion. I'm sad, I'm having a really bad day. You look at my post and you start to feel that way. And it led people to experience the same emotions without their awareness. Emotional contagion occurs without direct interaction between people and in the complete absence of non-verbal cues as on social media. people started to jump in on these two girls' relationship and tore them apart, and some people didn't even know them. Janie wrote about the other girl. Her mom even tried to follow me on Twitter. Her mom harassed me and texted me, told me I was worthless. Now you think that this is just for young women. No, adults get involved as well. At this particular, these two young girls at their school, teachers took sides. When Janie passed in the hallway, teachers would not even look at her. She was cut from sports teams. From one picture. Over the past few years, there have been a steady trickle of news reports. In 2015, a Colorado teacher was fired after posting a picture of a student on her Instagram account with the comment, "I don't know him, but I hate him." Hashtag pothead. I don't know him, but I hate him. Which leads us into cyberbullying. Millie, if you go to the next slide. Teens who report being bullied say it was because of their appearance. 61% are bullied just because of the way they look. 25% academic achievement or intelligence, 17% race, 15% sexuality, 15% financial status, 11% religion. Is there anyone here in high school? I'm so sorry. I'm telling you, it is a rough place to be a young woman. It's like you can do nothing right. You could just be having a fun time with your auntie at the mall. You take a picture and all of a sudden people hate you. What? How is this even possible? Girls are 40% more likely to be victims of cyberbullying than boys. 40% more. And you know, when friendships are conducted online and through texts, kids are doing this in a context stripped of many of the most personal and sometimes intimidating aspects of communication. I can just type things. I don't have to look at you. I don't have to have like proper socialization skills or anything. I can just type. It's easier to keep your guard up when you're texting, so less is at stake. You aren't hearing or seeing the effect of your words that your words have on the other person. And because the conversation isn't happening in real time, each party can take more time to consider a response. Oh, don't reply now. It's too fast. Oh, he replied right away, he likes me. This is like real stuff that happens. Now, no wonder kids say calling someone on the phone is too intense. No, seriously, your kids will not use the phone anymore. They will say you're too thirsty. Now, not like thirsty, but too like desperate, okay? That's another way to freak out your kids. Say, don't be too thirsty. Slow your roll. Do not call anyone on the phone. That is too thirsty. If kids aren't getting enough practice relating to people and getting their needs met in person and in real time, many of them will grow up to be adults who are anxious about just regular means of communication, talking. You can't text in an interview. You can't text your wedding vows. Can you imagine? Talking. We have to teach our young people that it's okay to talk. And it's true, when you have a group of young people in a room, 90% we're all on the phone. And it's funny because we're like talking to each other, but we're all right there, right? So what now? This is the next slide. What now? I just gave you a whole bunch of bad news. And if you read that book by Nancy Jo Sales, you will see how really bad it is. She did a study of college students. Now, this is right in the beginning of the book. And a company released a Snapchat of this like epic party at one of the colleges in the US. And it had a girl in a bikini bent over. Sent it to everyone at the college, and it said, party at so-and-so fraternity. And it like spread, and then that person spread it. And before you knew it, there were so many people at this fraternity party. And then another picture got posted, and it was two girls in a bikini kissing each other. And then it spread and spread and spread. And even more people came to the party. And then a third picture was posted, and it was a woman being taken advantage of. And it spread and it spread and it spread. Now, when the university officials kind of got wind of what was going on, they tried to shut it down, and they tried to find out who the user of this Snapchat was. Do you want to hear something scary? It was a company. An alcohol company. What a really smart way to get people together to drink. And if you read the book, in the process you will read how many people got messed up because of what was happening. So what now? In your little things here, I want you to open this up. Now, we have been very honest tonight. It is a rough life to be a young person with social media. So what are we going to do? The first thing that we're going to do is we're going to stay positive. We cannot ignore that social media is going to be a part of our lives. So we need to stay positive. We want to tame the beast. How do you help your child use social media successfully? You want to find their true self and not become obsessed with comparing themselves to other people or, you know, trying to be like that perfect profile image. You want your young people to have a strong sense of self based on who made them, our Heavenly Father, based on the talents that the Lord has blessed them with, based on personal qualities and tangible friendships. There are no shortcuts to self-esteem. It comes from strong relationships, achieving goals. So it's something your child will build on a little bit by a little bit. It's not going to instantly happen tomorrow, okay? So when opportunities arise, talk about true friends and self-respect. Now, if you are struggling with your own self-esteem, please talk to someone. You know, we're talking about young ladies, but you don't want to be 47 and have these feelings. You don't want to be 62 and feel horrible about yourself. If you have low self-esteem, please talk to someone. Get help in addressing your issues because you are going to be helping your child too. So, tips for taming the beast. These aren't on here. I'm just going to say them for you. Encourage family downtime. Now, we can't expect our kids to stop using their phone if we are on the phone. Right? We can't say, get off your phone, Gabriel, get off your phone, and then be like, oh my goodness, look at all my friends. So encourage family downtime. Keep bedrooms social media free. I work with a lot of young people, and it amazes me why their parents are wondering why they self-harm, but they're up all night on social media and people are telling them that they're worthless. Yes, your child will cut themselves if everybody is telling them that they're worthless. So get the internet out of their room. This will not be easy. They might hate you. But you know what? If they're trying to hide something from you, that is a huge warning signal. Number three, agree on rules of social engagement. Now, there has to be some social media rules, because if not, it will just overwhelm you. They can get into everything. And I don't know if you've noticed this, but if you've ever bought anything online, it will show up on your Facebook feed as an ad. Isn't that so smart? Yeah, I bought boots from Aldo, and now when I go on Facebook, all the ads are Aldo. And then you're like, oh, look, those heels, that bag. Yeah, that's not by accident. That's on purpose. They know what you like, and so they will put it on your feed. So agree on some rules of social engagement. Encourage the young people to think outside the box. Now, when you talk to your child about social media, encourage them to explore it in a critical way. Ask them, do you really think your friends are the people that they appear to be online? Why do you think they posted that? Do you think it's appropriate? Does looking at social media affect your mood? These are just conversation starters to have with some of your young people or your children. The other thing is to take social media seriously. Do not underestimate the role social media has, that it has in the lives of your child or your young people. It means a lot to them. So we can't just brush it off and say, oh, why are you doing that for? It's so dumb. That is not going to work. It is in every area of their life. Now, another good tip is to go on a social holiday, which means, like, do you know when you fast from social media, or you turn your phone off, or you don't watch TV, or you're not on your apps or whatever? Try it. Try it. You will be kind of shocked to see how much you're on your phone when you are told not to be on it anymore. Right? We're all on there. The next thing is to trust people, not pictures. Trust people, not pictures. If an alcohol company can manage to rearrange a so-called party to get thousands of people to drink their drink, trust people, not pictures. Now, in the end, as a parent or as, you know, a mentor, you want your child or your young person to be happy and successful. But making sure that your young person knows that you love them and that you're proud of them just the way they are is very important. You love them unfiltered, unedited, imperfect. This will help them build their confidence that they need to accept themselves and stay safe and healthy when they're out on their own. Now, I want you to take the quiz. Take it in your hand. We're going to look at number three. Through what medium do you think kids are most likely to be exposed to sexual content? Who says the internet? Put your hand up. Who says movies? Music? TV? Video games? Okay, we have to pick one though. It's TV. TV, yes, I was surprised too. 75% of youth have been exposed to sexual content on TV, followed by music at 69%. The internet is actually where youth are least likely to be exposed to sexual material. Wow. Does that surprise you? There is sexual content in everything on TV. Even The Simpsons. Family Guy, just because they're cartoons, it does not mean it's for kids. It's so not for kids. Even Disney. Yes, I see those sexy princesses. Yeah. You're right. You're very, very right. Okay, look at question number 4. How many Canadian teens have never looked for adult material, sexual photos, videos, etc., online? What percentage? How many Canadian teens have never looked at adult content? 1%. That's what you're saying? Okay, the answer is 77%. According to Media Smarts, their Young Canadians in a Wired World, survey they did, just 33% of Canadian students in grades 7 to 11 have looked for adult material. Isn't that good? This is actively searching. That doesn't mean it doesn't pop up. There is, and you'll find this in your little handout, where it says resources, protectyoungminds.com or .org. Please go on here. Please go on here. This organization is dedicated to making sure our young people stay safe from pornography. This is an amazing organization. Do you know, like, when sometimes our kids go on the elementary school sites and stuff? There are people that have found a way to sneak pornography through that. So you think, oh, my kids, this is on looking for some elementary books on this site, or they're practicing spelling. It's okay, I don't really need to be right beside them. You do need to be beside them. Because there are some really sick people who want to ruin our kids. And they find ways to sneak pornography onto our children's websites. So go to protectyoungminds.org. It's an amazing organization. Okay, question number 5. How high does being exposed to unwanted adult material rank in a list of things teens are worried about online? How worried are they? Tell me. Last? The answer is first. According to research that they were doing in Europe, dealing with unwanted exposure to adult material is the number one concern for youth. 1 in 5 young people are worried about this. A study in the UK found that half of boys and 2/3 of girls wished it was more difficult to access adult material online. They wished it was more difficult. It is not difficult at all. Question number 6. How many Canadian students in grade 9 have sent someone a nude? What do you think? 7%? You are right. According to Media Smarts, Young Canadians in a Wired World, just 7% of Canadian students in grade 9 have sent someone a text. Not bad, right? Let me tell you this. One of my grade 8 students that I work with told me that her classmates sexed. You know what a sext is? A sext text. So I'm going to take pictures of my body parts and send them to you. And that book by Nancy Jo Sales, a lot of young people are just literally stuck. If you don't send a sext, the whole school calls you a loser, a nun. You're not fun. If you do send a text, a nude, you're a slut. You're a hoe. So what is a young person supposed to do? Not take it and you're ostracized, or take it and you're ostracized? You are literally stuck. look at question number 7. How many Canadian students in grade 9 have forwarded a sext that someone sent them? Now, what do you think? It's actually 10%. But I don't know how accurate this is, because the young people that I've been speaking to in preparation for this seminar, they always forward it. Always. And you know, they say, oh, come on, send it, please. And once you send it, oh, you're such a slut. Last question. Number 10. Based on what they see on social networks, teens think that their friends have sex more often than they really do, less often, or as often as they really do? More often. You are right. 2015 study found that teens who are heavy users of social networks are likely to overestimate how often their peers have sex and whether their peers are having sex at all. You don't want to be the only one not having sex, because they think everyone else is having sex, but everyone else is not having sex. What a really rough time to grow up. What a rough time to figure out who you are as a young woman. So there are over 300 women in this room this evening. And I have no doubt that you are here specifically for this reason. I don't know if you have daughters or nieces or cousins or sisters, or you're a mentor to someone, or you're a teacher, or you're in a role where people trust you, but you need to be the person who comes alongside this young woman and shows her, you don't have to be stuck. You don't have to send that nude picture. We have to teach our young women that there's a better way to live than this. And so please take home this. Every single one of the resources listed are amazing. The Gorgeous to God blog is an Adventist blog put on by the North American Division Women's Ministries. Child Mind Institute, amazing. You will find so many resources here that you can use, very, very practical things. Conversation starters. No kid wants to grow up a loser or somebody that's, oh, you're such a goody-goody. You want your child to have a full, successful life and give them the confidence they need to grow up in a world full of likes. So please take this. You can save someone's life. I'm going to ask my friend Pastor Sarah to sing. And while she's singing, I want you to think about something, my sisters. I want you to think about the people that are in your life. Does every person here know a young woman? Do you know a young woman? I want you to think how you can actually impact that young woman for eternity. Think, how can I show them that God doesn't make junk? How can I show them that maybe if they went down the wrong road, they can start over? How can I love them like Jesus loved that woman? How can I come alongside them and show them that they don't need to live in a world dominated by likes? Please think about this while Pastor Sarah sings.
There's a voice that cries out in silence, searching for a heart that will love him, longing for a child that will give him their all, give it all he makes it all. And there's a God that walks over the earth. He's searching for a heart that will love him, and longing for a child that will give him their all. Give it all, he wants it all. And he said, love me. Love me with your whole heart. He wants it all today. And serve me. Serve me with your life now. He wants it all today. Bow down. Let go of your idols. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. There's a God that walks over the earth. He's searching for a heart that is desperate. And he's longing for a child that will give him their all. Give it all, he wants it all. He said, love me with your whole heart. He wants it all today. Love me. He wants it all today. Bow down, let go of your idols. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. So give it all of you, more of you. He wants it all today. Oh. All today, so give it all. There's a God that walks over the earth. He's searching for a heart that will love him, longing for a child that will give him their all. Give it all, he wants it all.
I'm going to invite you to stand. I'm going to ask you to put your hands over your heart. It is by no accident that you are here this weekend. I don't know where all of you are from. I know you're not all from Red Deer. But I do not believe that it's an accident that you are here. And I do not believe that it is an accident that you can impact someone else's life for eternity. Each one of you ladies can make an eternal impact on someone else. You could be the very reason a young woman does not kill herself. You could be the reason why a young woman finds her self-confidence in Jesus rather than what's going on in the world. You could be the reason a young woman, when she gets to heaven, says it was because of her. Jesus wants all of you today. And so as we close Sabbath, as we close this day of very sweet fellowship and worship, I would like you to dedicate yourself to changing another young woman's life for Jesus. Let's bow our heads and pray. Dear God, we are here and we want to be used by you. You know, we are not perfect individuals, but we're willing. We have just seen what kind of world that our young women have to grow up in. And it looks really sad. It looks rough. But Lord, we know that when you ask us to do something, you give us all that we need to do it. And so, Lord, I pray that for each one of these women here this evening, as we close Sabbath this evening, that you would give them an opportunity to change someone's life. Let them meet somebody on the bus, at work, at school, at the library, at the grocery store, here, there, everywhere. Let them meet someone, bring someone into their life that needs you, that needs a mama, that needs an auntie, that needs a grandma, that needs a friend, somebody that they could impact for your heaven. Thank you, Jesus, for this great opportunity to worship you all day freely. Thank you, Lord, for this very, very sweet fellowship. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.